Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Glenn McGee from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 7th, 2012, episode 332, sponsored by Audible.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Let's see. I'm living the dream. Getting up, talking about horses, just unfortunately a little bit earlier than you. That's what's wrong with me. I'm a little grumpy this morning.
I get up at 4 every morning, so I'm kind of used to that, but I'm weird. I know.
Exactly. That's by choice for you. I am working on my second cup of coffee, so pretty much I'm just going to sit back and let you do like the first 30 minutes of the show so I can get woken up and energized, and then I'll pop in a little bit later. So bye.
Okay. All right. No problem. Jennifer, what's coming up? Oh, Jennifer, we don't hear you.
I was busy hacking and coughing, so I put myself on mute. You should be thankful. On today's Audible.com Tuesday edition, we break from the gate with a listener request this time, thanks to loyal listener Dawn Deems, the author of the racing blog Bits and Bunny, is here to tell us about her fantastically popular interweb musing that Dawn has turned us all on to. And as is their usual habit on Tuesdays, Horse and Country TV is here with the laundry list of blogs, videos, and horsey headlines from across the pond to keep you entertained all day long at work. Stay tuned, folks.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Jamie, do you have a daily witty?
I do. Go ahead. My daily witty is going to go out to a blog that, you know, it's not an ESMA nominee. It's not, you know, much of a, it does amazing things. They do a lot of fundraising for animals in need, and it's called Horse and Man. And Horse and Man, every once in a while, this blog will do photos, just complete animal photos. And I'm going to post one of them right now on Facebook. It's so cute. And then I'm going to do another one because if you just go to horseandman.blogspot.com, just a great blog if you want to kill some time and see some people doing some good stuff. So I'm going to post the pictures on Facebook. One, Glenn, is of, oh my God, it's the cutest thing ever. It's a baby hippopotamus. Oh, it's so cute. It's a baby hippo, and it was presented to the public in Berlin, and it's, oh my God, it looks like a little claymation animal.
Why didn't
it is
you
so
go
cute.
Into zoology?
See, that would require you to finish college or get far enough to declare a major. So
I forgot about
there you
that.
Go. And then the second photo that they posted, I'm going to share as well because this one, I've never seen anything like it. So these are two photos from Horse and Man. They're on our Facebook page right now. The other one is a dog taking a bath in a very dramatic fashion. So if you haven't looked on
Facebook right now, our Facebook is hanging up here and I can't get to it. So I'll have to check them out later. You'll have to keep us updated what's going on Facebook because I'm I'm out of commission with Facebook. All right, thank you, Dean.
Well, it was worth it.
Baby hippo. My Daily Winnie, first one. I have two today. Well, first one goes out to Carrie, our friend who was on the show last week, the one with the 10 kids. She came with us that when she was staying with us, and she came out to the dog park with me. Oh, by the way, I got to do this. This is also a glory story. This is a double. All right, so this is also a glory story. We took Glory out to the dog park right across the street from our house here. It's about 12 acres. And she, Carrie, is a bit of a photographer, has a really nice camera, and actually knows how to take high-speed photos. And she took some great photos of Glory at 35 miles an hour. And I posted some of those on our Facebook page. And it is interesting to see her legs and feet just going in every direction. She is the clumsiest-looking runner you've ever seen. Fast as all get out. But, boy, her legs go in every direction. Not graceful in the least. You know how there's some horses that that get to the finish line first, but they just look terrible doing it? She is a version of a dog. You know, just no grace at all. I will
there
say, though, go ahead.
Legs and this, it's like she uses her tail as a balancing rudder. If you were to cut that dog's tail off, she would fall over.
Do you see the smile on her face, though? She is never as happy as when she's at the dog park.
This is awesome.
You know, we talk. There's a lot of greyhound people who believe that greyhound racing should be illegal and gotten rid of, and Jennifer and I feel disagree on that. We think as long as the dogs are treated correctly, these dogs absolutely love to run. There's nothing she likes better. She will beg all day to go to the dog park and take off and run like that. They just love to run, and you see the smile on her face when she's doing it. And she never raced. This one never raced. She was found as a stray, and I wish she would have raced, actually, because she would have been a winner. She was fast. Nice. I hope you enjoy the pictures. They're posted up there on Facebook at Horses in the Morning fan page on Facebook. I have a second
now,
one here. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Can you get on Facebook yet?
No, it's still hanging up for me. I can't get on.
Okay, I found the website is horseandman.com. So if you want to go see the photos that I posted, it is of the dog taking the bath and the baby hippo. horseandman.com. Awesome.
All right. My second Daily Winnie goes out to a good friend of the Horse Radio Network, and that is Jessica Phoenix, who we have to congratulate. She won the 2012 Equine Canada Annual Awards. She is the 2011 Equestrian of the Year in Canada, and we're very happy for her. We're very excited for her, and I'm going to give her this. She certainly deserves this. She is an excellent rider. And, you know, we get to see her at Rolex every year, and I know right now she's in Ocala. Matter of fact, let's just call her and congratulate her. She doesn't know we're calling. Let me see if I can figure out how to do this live. We don't do this too often, but I'm in a mood today. I'm in an adventurous mood today. Let's see if we can. She's probably riding a horse. Let's see if this works.
This is a bad idea.
Hi, you've reached Jessica Phoenix. Please leave me a message, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Leave her a message. Hey, Jesse, it's Glenn and Janie here from Horses in the Morning. Congratulations on winning the 2011 Equestrian of the Year. We're so proud of you. If you want to call in, it's 347-637-3238. Thanks, Jesse. There.
You know, let me talk. I mean, you wouldn't let me get a word in. Congratulations. And if
That's
you say that number a little, faster, then she might be able to write it down next time.
She's not going to call. She's riding the horse. They're getting ready. I think there's an event in Ocala this weekend. They're all down in Ocala. I think Jesse's training at the O'Connor Farm.
Oh, that Ocala event hurts me every time I hear about it. Because I seriously had entered the training level at Ocala three times, and all three times my horse got hurt right before the horse trial.
Really? When you lived in Georgia, you were going to go down?
Yeah, three times entered, three times not able to compete. So every time I hear that, I'm like, God, I always wanted to compete in Ocala. Oh, it hurts. It hurts so bad.
Well,
never
compete
there.
We're hoping to catch a piece of it. We're going down to Florida this weekend to visit my brother in Ocala, and we're hoping to get over there and say hi to everybody at some point over the weekend. All the big names are down there right now training from Canada and the United States. And this, I think this event this weekend is a qualifier for something. I don't remember what. Do you remember what? I don't remember.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it's a qualifier for something, so they're all riding in it this weekend. We'll say hi as they all ride by. We'll think about you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
A couple of news stories here before we get to our first guest coming up here in a minute is the Horse of the Year. Do you want to talk about the Horse of the Year in Canada?
Oh, my gosh. This is so cool. Obviously... Wait, hold on. I'm doing a Hickstead story. I have to put on my armband. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Got my armband on. So okay. Hickstead was just named Canada's Horse of the Year. And really spectacular. If you can't remember, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Hickstead passed away on November 6th of last year. And, you know, very tragically, right coming out of the arena. And so they have made him Horse of the Year, but they also commissioned equine artist Mary Sand to create a bronze sculpture in the likeness of Hickstead in recognition of him. And what's awesome is that the Hickstead trophy that they created, it's this beautiful image of the horse in full form, full jumping form, jumping over, and they've got this like beautiful kind of metal thing that's coming up and holding him up like it would be the jump. Probably didn't describe that very well. But as part of his legacy, this is going to be a trophy that will be given every single year. So from now on, forever, the Horse of the Year trophy in Canada is Hickstead. It's called the Hickstead Trophy. So that's awesome that they did that. Awesome.
And I assume Hickstead also won Horse of the Year, right?
Yeah, that's what I said okay. First.
Okay. I got the part about the trophy, but I didn't get the part about him win. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no, he didn't win. He was second in the voting, but they did make the trophy
after
him.
They made the trophy after him.
Yeah, we're good. He won.
All right. All right.
Now, I've got another story for you, Glenn. This is very funny. When I'm reading through, I do my little show research and I go through the Blood Horse and the Daily Racing Form. I love reading thoroughbred names, but I think that people sometimes forget that, you know, your horse may not forever be a racehorse. But racehorse people out there, think about this when you're naming your animal. Please do not give it a stupid name, because those of us who get your horse later, like Ride the Bench or Bumpity, which are my two racehorses, I said it, Bumpity, that's Fighter Jet's old name. Between those names, like, I'm not going to call my event horse Bumpity. Seriously? Or Ride the Bench? I might as well call him Loser. Well, name your racehorses something cool so that when they get passed on to the future, they don't have articles written about them like this one. Fortunately, not Event Horse. This is a Broodmare. This is how the thing starts. Fancy Prancer became the most expensive horse sold so far during the Fazek Tipton Kentucky Winter Mixed Sale in Lexington when she brought $200,000 early evening. Fancy Prancer was purchased as a 13-year-old dark bay broodmare from Paramount Sales, blah, blah, blah. It was fantastic. I'm so excited to have Fancy Prancer, says the person that bought it. And Fancy Prancer is a daughter of Bertrando and also the dam of four stakes winners, Dakota Sue, Little Miss Allison, Robo Willie, and Miss Sassy Sue. These are the dumbest names I've ever heard. Who names their horse Fancy Prancer and Miss Sassy Sue and Dakota Sue? Stupid. Stupid. Whoever bred this, all these horses, is an idiot.
There are some names there.
If I had a horse named Fancy Prancer, what am I? What? Who named that? A 12-year-old girl? Seriously? I mean, I would name a horse Fancy Prancer if I was 10. Maybe that's it. But that's it.
Speaking of naming horses, coming up this year, they're every year the Household Cavalry of the Queen. Those are the horses that you see with all of the guys riding in the fancy military uniforms and parades before and after the Queen's carriage. That's called the Household Cavalry. Yeah.
They don't have any horses in the cavalry called Fancy Prancer.
No, actually, they try and name them after famous commanders or regimental battle honors or military equipment. I mean, they really go military on these horses. But there are 30 new horses that are nearing the end of their training, and they're going to be brought in for the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. We sort of talked about that coming up in April. It's going to be a big equestrian celebration for the Queen. And they're, for the first time, they're asking for suggestions for the names for these 30 horses. And apparently each batch that comes out of school, that graduates from school, is assigned a letter. And this year, the name must start with the letter M. So they're using the letter M this year. And they have already named two of the 30. Two of the names that have been decided on are Musa Kwale. I must be a famous commander or something. And Magpie. Not sure how Magpie got in there. Is that something military?
I don't know. Yeah, I think what they said in the article was that that was a guy who passed away in the last war. That was his nickname.
Ah.
So it kind of was like his call sign.
Otherwise, I don't even know what a magpie is. I'm going to have to look that
it's
up.
A bird.
Is it?
A bird.
So they have,
yeah, so
they have
was,
28
was
horses to name, and you can help by going to Facebook.com/CHMR. Or HCMR. Yeah. HCMR. For Household Cavalry, I don't know what the MR is for, but military, I don't know, regiment?
Regiment.
That might be it. We're talking about making up as we go. Facebook.com/HCMR, and you can help name the latest batch of Household Cavalry horses. So I'll start with M. So if you go to M names, go there, especially if they sound military.
All right. Musa Kwala is a town in North Helmand, and it was captured and held by the regiment. And Magpie was the nickname of Trooper James Mundy, who was killed in Afghanistan.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. And you are absolutely correct. A magpie is a Passerian bird. There you go. Kind of looks like a black and white bird. And some of them are colored.
Well, we are waiting. We're waiting on. We're stalling, really, Glenn, is what we're doing, because we have a guest that's supposed to be coming on our show. And this is, to me, I'm having a hard time believing this, but now it's all coming clear because she's not answering her phone. And this is a 15-year-old blogger that Dom Deems, our regular listener, told us about. So shout out Dom Deems, because we've got Becca Hintzman, who's supposed to be on our show right now, who's 15 years old and writes like she's been in the, you know, starting gate of the Kentucky Derby for 25 years. So it's interesting. She writes about thoroughbred racing, and we can't get her on the phone because this writing is ridiculous. This writing is stuff, Glenn, that 15-year-olds don't write stuff like this. Do you want me to read a section of it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. We have time to kill.
Hold on. I just screwed it up here. So the website is bitsinbunny.com. Bitsinbunny.com. And she wrote this article on black caviar. And reading this article about black caviar, I have a hard time believing that a 15-year-old wrote this. I can't wait to figure out if she did or not by talking to her. But this is her article about black caviar. Black caviar, remember, 15 years old. Black caviar has secured her special place in history high atop a pedestal in Australian racing. Over the years, caviar has been a prime example of everything that a great racehorse should be, a model of the highest quality, consistent speed, and soundness. Rarely do such elite animals grace our pristine courses and inflaming our hearts with burning passion for the elusive, perfect beast that is the thoroughbred racehorse. Dude, Do elite animals grace our pristine courses, inflaming our hearts with burning passion for elusiveness? Are you kidding me?
It's making me feel rather dumb, actually.
I feel like an idiot. Same thing. Oh, my gosh. Then she goes on to break down the difference between, like, a horse like Goldakova and Muzier, because they are not running at a mile and a quarter, and how distance handling is just it's crazy. Is she actually on right now? Are we here?
Oh, no. I don't think so. Jennifer, I don't think she is on at this point. Alan Moorhead's here. I'm sure he's here to pick for his weekly pick on Jamie session. Do you want to find out?
Oh, Lord. Go ahead.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, guys, and Jamie. I'm not picking on Jamie today. I don't know. Whatever brought all that up? I've never picked on Jamie about anything.
Uh-huh. Watch your mouth.
No, I heard her talking about horses' names a while ago, and I think this was a quarter horse name. I'm not sure. But one of the coolest names that you'll hear on a race call, and Glenn, can you get the YouTube? I know you can't get on your Facebook, you said.
Yeah, Facebook's down. Let me see if I can get to YouTube. Okay.
Okay, H-O-O-F. H-E-A-R-T-E-D, Hoof Hearted.
Oh, yep, I see that here, yep.
Hoof Hearted? That's terrible.
That's a real horse's name. I just came across it one day on gathering up through YouTube about horse stuff, and the call on that was funny as it could be. I think your listeners would enjoy listening to the call of Hoof Hearted.
Okay, I think I have it here. Well, let's see if we can hear it.
Dream outside. Colorado Coed. Toast a dozen on the inside. Questions yet. Who farted? Who farted on the outside? It's close. Who farted in the winner's circle?
Now there's a question that's left unanswered.
Leave it to you, Alan, to bring the class to the show. We count on you for that.
What a great start to a week.
Thank you, Alan.
My head.
Yeah, we found out who farted on horses in the morning.
Have a great show this week on the Western Radio Show, Alan. Hey, we hung up on us.
Thank God. Seriously?
Hey, we have our guest on. It looks like Becca is here. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. We have Becca Heinzman, who we're just talking about your blog, Bits and Bunny, and my co-host, Jamie, is not believing that a 15-year-old is that good a writer. She has serious doubts that you're actually writing this blog.
Well, I'm writing it all myself, but my parents, they're actually surprised how everyone thinks they take a lot of effort in making sure my writing is very good. They make me do a lot of writing. I read very much. I always have. My favorite author is Edgar Allan Poe. I know he's a little dark, but I love his writing. And sometimes when my mom reads over my articles, she says, "You can't use that word. Nobody knows what it means." I don't know. She doesn't know what it means. And
do you have, like, a thesaurus next to you at all times? Because I was reading this sentence that you wrote about black caviar, and it says, "Rarely do such elite animals grace our pristine courses, inflaming our hearts with burning passion for the elusive perfect beast that is the thoroughbred racehorse." I love that. I think it's very poetic, and if I wrote it, it would have said, "Well, it's a really good horse, and he's fast, and they're hard to find."
Thank you. I actually don't have a thesaurus by me at any all time. I just come off with it at the top of my head. I just write it out.
Amazing.
Well, you do a good job. What's Bits and Bunny? Why the name Bits and Bunny?
Well, my nickname has always been Bunny, so we always thought that Bits and Bunny would be cute.
Well, it's definitely cute. It's unique, and you managed to get bitsandbunny.com, which is good. Now, tell me why. What? Where did the love of thoroughbred racing come from for 15-year-old?
Well, Well, at the farm where we boarded our two horses, I began caring for a 25-year-old thoroughbred gelding, and I wanted to know everything about him since I loved him so much, and I began to research his pedigree, and I fell in love with horse racing. Now Polka's turning 30, and he's lost an eye last year, but he stands out in the pasture every day breathing in and out, and when he's laying down, my mom says, "Is he dead?" We all hold our breath and shout out at him through the back door, and we're relieved to see him move an ear or switch his tail.
So now, you do you just read about everything racing? Do you watch the racing channels on TV? What do you do?
Well, I watch it on TV. I read about it online. I have books and books, and I draw thoroughbred racehorses. So I learn a lot from drawing.
And I noticed a bunch of pictures of you at different tracks and with different horses. Do you get to go to the track often?
I get to go to the track whenever there's – my mom takes me up for a big event or anything like that. I go to the sales, the races, the farms.
And where do you live? What part of the country?
We live in southern Georgia.
Okay.
There's
what part?
No track nearby you.
No. So it's a long drive, but it's definitely worth it.
Well, now, so you live in southern Georgia. Yeah, you're right. Where's the closest track? Is that in Atlanta?
Well, there's no racing in Georgia, so.
Oh, so you have to go to Florida?
Well, we've never been to Florida, but we always go to Kentucky. The tracks in Florida are about the same distance away.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. So have you been to the Kentucky Horse Park and visited Cigar?
No, not yet. That's on our plans, but we haven't made it quite yet.
Okay, cool. Well, your blog was recommended to us by Dawn Deems, who I know is a racing person, and she came across it. And you said in a Facebook post to me, which I can't still get to Facebook right now, that your blog is a year old, and you just went over how many readers?
20,000 visitors.
Wow, that's really good.
It's been such an amazing journey with the writing and the visiting the farms, and everyone's just been so supportive. It's unbelievable.
All right. Well, if you want to check it out, it's BITS, the letter N, BUNNY.com, bitsandbunny.com. You post regularly on there, which is one of the things that, blogs, they end up going away because people don't post regularly, but you've been doing a good job with that. I just wanted to ask you, you had two Derby darlings, two horses you're looking out for come the Kentucky Derby this year in 2012. Why did you pick Out of Bounds? And you have another one here. I'm looking for the name. Alpha.
Yes. They're two very, very promising horses between their running styles and their pedigrees. They're really bred well for distance all the way back to their first generations. And they look like they're going to do great. They have such nice running styles, and their strides are big, which suggests they could do well over distance. And
now, are these Sheikh Mohammed's horses?
Yes.
They're both Sheikh Mohammed?
Alpha is owned by his family stable, Godolphin, but Out of Bounds is owned solely by Sheikh Mohammed.
Okay, cool. Well, there's two. Looks like, Jamie, there's two we have to start watching this year.
All right. I'll write them down. But I've got to tell you, I'm from Georgia, and I can turn on a southern accent in about 5 seconds because that's the way they talk. And you are from southern Georgia, honey, and how do you not have no accent?
Well, my family isn't from Georgia. My dad lives in the military, so we've moved around often. But
gotcha.
Got it.
Where are you guys stationed right now? Are you down in Valdosta?
We're about an hour and a half away, 2 hours, I think, away from Valdosta.
Okay, well, I just, being down that south, it's got to rub off on you a little bit. I want to hear you say y'all every once in a while next time we talk to you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Bunny, for being on. We appreciate it. It's bitsandbunny.com.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be on with you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You still doubt her.
I'm not making any comments because I can't.
I'm believing her. I'm going with it.
No comment.
Well, there's
something
that you should believe, and that's audible.com. You know, Audible is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. They have over 100,000 titles to choose from in every genre, thrillers, business, romance, comedy. I was just on there yesterday, Jamie, because we're driving to Florida on Thursday, and it's a 12-hour trip, and I knew we needed a book. We finished our last book on the last trip from Pennsylvania. So I was on there looking, and I have 5 credits built up because you do the monthly plan, you build up credits. So I found a couple of books that we're going to try and listen to. So I'll have to have a book review when we get back, see if there was anything good. I haven't listened to the Stephen Jobs book yet, so I'll have to do that yet too. But I don't think I'm going to get Jennifer to listen to the Stephen Jobs book. No way she's going to listen to that Stephen Jobs book. But we'll give you a report. You can go to Audible right now, audibletrial.com/HRN, and you get a free audiobook to try. You have a 14-day free trial. You just download any of the books on there that are worth 1 credit, and most of them are, and you can take a listen. They play on a bunch of different players, like over 500 different players, your phones. If you have a smartphone or if you have an MP3 player, an iPod or anything like that, they'll play on there no problem at all. So go to audibletrial.com/HRN, and you'll find a world of entertainment. Now, we only want you to listen to that when you're not listening to Horse Radio Network shows or when you've run out of them for the week. Otherwise, you're just not allowed to listen to Audible books. Just saying. Protecting the brain.
You're rambling. Focus.
I know.
I don't know why you're rambling. Our next guest is on the line, Glenn, and I would love to introduce her because she is an Equestrian Social Media Awards finalist. Her name is Fiona Deering, and she is in the Best Newcomer category. And Glenn decided we had to talk to every single Best Newcomer because we are the winners of last year. We'll be handing off our trophies, the big awards that we won. Wait, no, we didn't get anything. But
yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen the trophy yet.
Yeah, well, I made one out of paper mache, and it's sitting on my desk right now. Just kidding. Fiona's on the line right now, and Fiona is from remotecoach.com. It's remote-coach.com. And say hello, Fiona.
Good morning.
Well, thank you. I understand, apparently, that it is somewhere in the middle of the night for you. Tell everybody where you are.
I'm in Melbourne, Australia. It's 1:32 a.m.
Bless your heart, woman. And if you're a horse person, that means that you're up almost till tomorrow.
Yeah. I've got a couple to ride in the morning.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, we'll make this easy and painless. Tell everybody about your website.
Well, this came about in an interesting way, I guess. The other part of my life is I'm a law student, and I'm an off-campus law student, and all of my lessons are delivered, all my lectures are delivered via downloads onto my iPhone. And I had been teaching riding for quite a while, and I thought that could become quite a useful tool for riders out there, particularly at the level I coach, which is that adult amateur level, and that they would benefit greatly from having a coach in their ear as they ride. So I started writing downloads, and it's grown from there to become sort of many things, I guess. I think I've created a little bit of a monster, actually.
I love this idea of having your coach in your ear at all times. Like, what a good idea to have somebody that you could have in your ear while you're sitting there on your horse, because I listen to my iPhone when I ride all the time. I can't use the plugs, but I put my iPhone upside down in my back pocket because I ride in jeans a lot, and listen to my music or whatever while I'm out there riding. And I use the music to help me gauge kind of how long I've been out there. Like, if I can get through 10, 12 songs, I know I'm probably good. Stop riding your horse.
Yes.
But what a good idea to have a remote coach out there going, hey, turn left here. So give us just kind of an idea of what you would hear if you were listening to you.
So the first few are the ones on rider position. So that's one that can be used both on and off the horse to check in with your position. And the second one is called Sensational Serpentines, or I think you call them serpentines over there. And that's really, you know, a lot of suppling exercises for your horse. A lot of the people I teach, I see people out there who may ride, you know, a few laps around the outside track and then genuinely wonder what they're going to do. So giving them those entry-level exercises for them to work on and picking up on some of the common mistakes I see that they can check in and ensure that they're not making. I also do some downloads of dressage tests that people can ride to, which are specific to Australia and in particular the state I'm in, Victoria, and offer other things in the pipeline, a confidence downloads that we'll be doing, and many, many other things. It's just having the time to actually sit down and write and record them.
Right. Now, you do talk a lot about confidence and getting confidence back to students. What is one really important piece of advice that you give somebody who may be an adult amateur that, you know, is thinking about downloading your stuff and they're having some confidence problems? What would you say to them?
Number one, breathe. Number two, fake it until you make it. I mean, really make sure you're sitting in that confident position so that you're tricking yourself a little bit also. You know, as soon as you start to curl up in a ball on the horse and stop breathing and become nervous, the horse goes, well, hang on, something's going wrong up in mission control land, and they get nervous, and then we're off on the vicious circle. So really making sure you're sitting up nice and tall in a good position where you can feel confident for a start.
Gotcha. So fake it till you make it. I like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's been my entire life.
Part of mine too.
Oh, I'm sure. But I'm reading some of the things that you've got some Meet My Students on your website, and they've all kind of written some stuff about you. And it is so common to read what's these first sentences. You know, I've had a few falls. My confidence was shattered. And they talk about how you were able to take them back to getting their confidence back. But so many students, why do you think it is that adult amateurs with one fall can have their confidence shaken so much?
Look, I think that as an adult, the stakes are a little bit higher. As a, you know, gung-ho 15-year-old, you know, if you break your leg or your arm, it's fine because mum's still going to drive you to school. But as an adult, you've got responsibilities, you may have children, you've got a job, you may be the only wage earner in the family. And it's all of a sudden a much bigger risk if you do come off and really hurt yourself.
That's true. So, one fall and then, you know, I find that it just hurts a lot more, too, as I get older.
Well, yeah. Instead of just getting back on, we need, you know, an x-ray.
Yeah.
We don't bounce as good.
No.
So now, Fiona, do you ride? Do you compete? What's a little bit of your bio?
I grew up in Tasmania, which is that little island off the end of Australia. I grew up hunting and a bit of eventing and a bit of everything, pony club, showing, all of that stuff. And through various career choices, I haven't really done a lot over the last sort of 20 years, certainly not in competing, but I've always kept my hand in with dressage, and I have a 3-year-old Welsh cob in the paddock just waiting for me to go and get him and break him in, so I'm really looking forward to starting to compete again.
Aww, that's awesome, a 3-year-old I love the way she said that too. He's waiting for me to get him and break him.
Don't think he is.
He's probably waiting for breakfast, you know.
He's a cob. Of course he is.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't think we've ever had anybody that is from Tasmania, much less that has evented in Tasmania. Can I just ask real quick, because I'm an eventer, what is eventing like in Tasmania?
Well, it was a very, very, very long time ago.
Come on, you can remember.
Well,
no helmet.
It was a bit rough and ready back then. a lot of natural obstacles. More than eventing, really, I hunted. And I really, really miss that, although it is getting close to the time where I'm going to have to actually do it again because I've said my Welsh cob is going to go hunting and now I have to do it. So, yes, it's not going to be a little bit different as an older person doing it. But, look, hunting in Tasmania, there are no foxes, so we always drag hunted. And it was pretty rough and ready, but, gee, you learnt how to stick.
Yeah, I would imagine. So yeah. You talk a little bit about your 3-year-old Welsh cob and how you say you have to get him hunting because you said you were going to do it. You got to get him out there. And it sounds like to me, Fiona, that maybe the reason you're such a good teacher about confidence is do you have confidence issues yourself?
Probably only from that perspective of if I fall off and get hurt, the money stops coming in, which is a concern. I've never really had big confidence issues, but I certainly empathise with those who do. And, I can see that it wouldn't take too many big stacks for me to have a few issues myself. Hence downsizing to a Welsh cob.
Yeah, not a particle.
Yeah, that's right. And
I love
he's really wide.
He's wide, right? It's like riding a couch.
That's the one.
Oh, my gosh, that is so funny.
Yeah.
And riding a short couch, too, so it's perfect.
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
Touch the ground with your feet. Well, tell everybody how before we let you go, how can they download one of your coaching sessions? Is it a subscription process? Because I would love to listen to you when I'm riding because you just have such an awesome voice. In the nice
oh,
way about
it. Well, they can purchase it from the store on the website, which you mentioned earlier. So there's a product section on there. And I also coach over Skype and off YouTube clips and via email as well. So there's a whole range of products on there. And as soon as I get my exam out of the way on the 20th of February, I will have more downloads going up. But at the moment, I'm studying like a mad thing.
Now, are you, you're taking your exam to become an attorney, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I'm still a few years off, but yes, that's
okay.
Right.
All right. So what do you want to do with your law degree?
I'm not sure. Look, originally the law degree was the main thing, but I think that's probably turning into the backup plan if remote coach works the way I'd like it to.
Spoken like a typical horse girl.
Go all
it makes my parents
muscles.
Happy that it could be making real money.
Yeah, your parents are going to love that. Oh, I went through 18 years of school and I got my law degree, but I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
I used to ride horses and teach people.
They've given up.
Yeah, I really don't want to make any money. I just want to do the horse thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much always been the way.
See, Jamie, it doesn't matter what country. You can be from Australia and Tasmania, or you can be from Arizona. Horse girls are horse girls, aren't they?
Amen, brother. We're all like somehow, we're all a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, remote-coach.com is the website. You guys go on, check it out, and go take a look at what Fiona's got going on there. Remote-coach.com. We wish you the best of luck with the law degree and the remote coach.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on.
You can vote for her at the ESMO Awards Best Newcomer category number 16, and don't forget to vote for Horse Radio Network in category number 19. Thanks for staying up, Fiona. Go to bed now.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, that's the first ever for Horse Radio Network, somebody from Tasmania.
I just loved her voice. I mean, I don't even care what she says. If she could just talk to me while I'm riding, that's lovely. Oh, very nice. You know.
Now, you missed the question that everybody was waiting for you to ask. And you just, I'm not sure if you intentionally avoided it or not. You know what I'm going to say? She's hunting in Tasmania. There is a Tasmanian devil.
Oh,
so
how did I miss that?
You missed that. I was so waiting, and I wasn't able to take the line from you, so I was waiting for you to come out with it.
Seriously. That is a Glenn line, though, if I've ever heard one. How did you not ask that question?
Well, I kept thinking she's going to ask it. She's got to ask it. It's right there. It's right in front of her.
She got on the subject of doing drag hunts because they don't have foxes there. I never would have thought Tasmanian devil. That's the way you think, okay? You're the Disney guy, Looney Tunes guy. How did you not ask that question? Call her back. Get her back on the line.
I think she's probably asleep already.
Right.
Hey, that was a good interview. You did a good job. with that one exception. All right. We have a new sponsor that we're very excited about here on Horses in the Morning. And they've been a sponsor of the Horse Radio. Yes, yay. They've been a sponsor of the Horse Radio Network for a long time, and that's Equestrian Collections. But they have now added Horses in the Morning to their stable of shows that they are sponsoring. And we are very excited about that because what they're going to do is a product of the week. So we're going to do a little segment every week with where you get to learn about a new product every week. And we have the first one of those coming up right now. And then we're going to play a little music, and we're going to be back with the European Report with Horse and Country TV. And it sounds like Victoria's off, and we have somebody different on today. So that's a rookie. We break in another one, Jamie. We were just getting Victoria good, but she's only off for a week, so she's coming back. All right, here's Equestrian Collection. I'm the Geek here, and I'm with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. Debbie, what are we talking about this week?
This week I'd like to talk about the MDC Ultimate Syrups. It's finally getting to be spring, although this year it's been spring here in the East most of the winter.
Right.
So people are thinking about getting back in the saddle, and these syrups are really, really wonderful. I use them myself. They have they can turn. They have a way where you can turn 90 degrees, 45 degrees, a little thing at the top that you can turn so that you can put your foot at however angle is most comfortable for you. This is not only good for showing, it's excellent for trail riding. If you have knee problems, if you have foot problems, ankle problems, you can ride for hours in these and not feel it. My sister has knee problems, and when she uses these stirrups, she can ride on a four-hour trail and not have a problem. They're also gorgeous for showing. They have springs on the outside with rubber covering them so that you have a very good solid feel to your foot.
Well, I totally agree with you, Debbie. Actually, I know some people that use these, and the flexibility of your foot going back and forth, being able to move your foot back and forth with the spring-loaded action, and then as well as being able to tilt it to the angle you like, makes it so much easier on your knees. And I know a person that has knee problems that uses these for that reason and doesn't have the problem that they used to have with just the rigid stirrups.
And you know what else? It's also a safety feature because you can pick up your stirrups if you happen to lose one or for whatever reason that you kick off your stirrups while you're out. You can pick them up much easier with these stirrups.
That's the MDC Ultimate Stirrup. You can find them at EquestrianCollections.com. Just go to Equestrian Collections and put in the search box MDC Stirrup and you'll find them at EquestrianCollections.com.
Like a comet, he shot into my life. He was black as coal, but he shined so bright. To be with me was his only need. To that little dog, I was everything. He was at my side every minute. When each day came, he was in it with all his heart. That's how dogs are. He lived fast, he lived hard. Like a shooting star. says it's much too calm without his energy. And I go back to that special time when I was his and he was mine. He was at my side every minute. When each day came, he was in it with all his heart. That's how dogs are. He lived fast, he lived hard, like a shooting black sky when a falling star dances by. He was at my side every minute. When each day came, he was in it with all his heart. That's how dogs are. He lived fast, he lived hard, like a shooting
star. That is Marianne Kennedy, Shooting Star, for new record, This Love of Horses. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And it's brought to you today by Audible.com. And we got some more news stories for you coming up. But I know that you're going to want to go ahead and do the story about your girlfriend, Chantel. I won't take it away.
Yes. You don't want to. You can't take my Chantel story from me.
I know.
Game on, dude. Game on, dude. You remember Game on, dude, the racehorse from last year? Remember we talked about Game on, dude, some? And was it the Kentucky Derby Game on, dude was in that we talked
Breeders
about?
Breeders' Cup. We talked about him a lot, the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, okay. So Game on, dude defeated Bango. Bango. I love that name. Bango. Bango. Can you hear the announcer doing that down the stretch? Bango down the stretch. Game on,
better
dude.
Than who farted.
I thought Alan was pretty good this morning. Anyway, he won. Game on, dude actually won something, the $200,000 San Antonio Stakes. But more importantly, Game on, dude was ridden by Chantel Sutherland, the hottest jockey now riding in jockey world.
And she's single, right?
She's single. And she had a victory. Guess who she beat? Guess who was riding? Bango.
Tell me, please.
Mike Smith, her former boyfriend. Remember how Mike Smith beat her in the Breeders' Cup just by a hair? Well, Chantel just got back a little bit on that race, and I'm sure she was rubbing it in the jock room.
Yeah. Ever since the TV show Jockeys came on, that's when your love affair started with Chantel Sutherland. And obviously used to be your boyfriend in the show Jockeys. They broke up. She's single now, and she just kicked his butt. And that's what I'm excited about. And Game One Dude is going to have an awesome 2012. So he's 5 years old now, going to run in the Breeders' Cup probably again, if I'm predicting the future. And gonna win it.
Well, and you know, if you did you watch that jockey show when it was on?
I saw a couple of it. I was only because I would go to other people's houses and watch it.
Well, they were fighting the whole time. These two, that for 2 years they just fought. I mean, there was a reason they broke up. They would never agree on anything and fought the whole time. So it was a tumultuous relationship, to say the least. Although Mike Smith had a very nice house and drove some nice cars.
He does all right for himself, huh?
So we have our next guest coming up here in a couple of minutes, and he's not ready yet. But what is this about this this fraud story that you have here?
My God, how many times do we have to hear about this? Remember the girl in, was it Pennsylvania, that was had a, and I'm using finger quotes in the air, the horse rescue, that she was getting horses off the track, and she was taking them to the slaughterhouse. Horrible
right.
story we did a couple weeks ago, and apparently they have extended her stay. I don't know what the court case has been pushed back. So just reading about this in Horse and Hound, somebody else has been doing the same thing over in England, and it's just absolutely horrible. Apparently, this woman, 24 years old, isn't that the same age of the other girl? This cute girl
named... Yeah, exactly 24. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Cute girl named Brooke Lee, 24 years old, of Roebuck Lane in Otley. I don't know where that is. I should probably do a little bit research before. But she's lived in Yorkshire. She's a dealer who took horses on loan. Now, they call horses on loan. I think she leased them. And or would take them for free or something like that. She has received a 9-month suspended prison sentence. 9 months, and she doesn't even have to serve a day in jail, 220 hours of community service, and 750 euros. That's it. Basically, she was taking horses and selling them to other people. So there's a website, I guess, over in Europe called Missing Horses on Loan, where it's a common thing to let somebody lease your horse and they steal it. So they disappear with your horse. She got caught because she was selling horses through sales, running them through sales. And there was a draft horse that she took on loan. Again, I'm still thinking that that's maybe like for lease or to take it and give it a good home. But it was an Irish draft called Thumper. And Thumper had really bad arthritis. And so she's like, oh, it would be a perfect companion for my filly. 5 days later, she sold him at the sale. Got anywhere from, I think, like 1,800 euros for him. Well, the buyer found the horse was lame and then took it back to the auction house, and they got their money back. And then all of this stuff kind of gets put together. She has done this for hundreds of horses. One of them was a horse that,
How do you not get caught?
I don't know. I don't know. But the Missing Horses on Loan, Allie Can, who runs that website, says you got to do a little bit more to safeguard your horses. She says it's not enough to hand over your horse to a nice lady who promises to take care of it. Check where your horse is going. Get a contract. Keep an eye on your horse. Talk about leasing a horse and then never following up ever again. And that's how she didn't get caught. People don't care. They sell their horses, and they weren't paying attention to where they were going. One of the horses that she took was put through the slaughterhouse 3 days later. Who checks on their horse 3 days later, though, you know? I mean, so the whole thing is tough, but she didn't even get jail time.
By the way, I hope the one in Pennsylvania at least gets some jail time, but how do these girls end up with no moral compass whatsoever?
I have no idea. And it's just sad because the pictures of her, you can go and check out the story on Horse and Hound. A nice, attractive 24-year-old. It reminds me of me. When I was 24, I was going to the racetrack, and I was taking horses off the racetrack, retraining them, and finding them homes or competing them. Some of them, you know, I had for years. And I could imagine now that somebody like me, 24 years old, goes to a racetrack. First, to have the thought in your mind that I'm going to cash in and sell these horses for slaughter? Are you kidding me? Second thing is, now 24-year-old girl like me goes to the racetrack and they're like, don't give her your horse. People like that kill them. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're
the whole
exactly
thing
right.
is horrible.
Well, let's bring on, actually, this story was out of Yorkshire in England, and we have somebody else from England on right now. Normally at this time of the week, we do our Horse and Country TV report with Victoria, the European report. But today, Victoria is out, and we have Jennifer with us. Now, if you remember correctly, those that are regular listeners, we forced Jennifer to come on the phone last week, and we caught her off guard. This week, she prepared for us, Jamie, so I don't think we'd get her. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. So we're so glad that you could join us this week voluntarily.
Well, Victoria bribed me, so it was good.
She's tired of it, huh?
Yes.
She's just away for 1 week.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because Jennifer's going to, after this is done today, Jennifer's going to go back to her and say, I'm never doing that again. You can never have a day off. Never.
Yeah. But...
Well, Jennifer, tell us, old Nick Skelton, who we've been talking about a lot here on the European report, is up to it again, huh?
Yeah, he's doing well, isn't he? He's got some good horses at the moment.
And, of course, he's a show jumper out of your country over here in Florida right now.
Yeah, he's over with quite a few of the riders. He's over with people like Scott Brash and Tim Gredley competing. He's taken three of his top horses, and he's just won the Grand Prix on his best horse, Big Star. He's really fond of this horse. He's not actually that old. He's only about 10 years old, and he's been winning all over the place, and then he's just won the Grand Prix. Won $80,000, I think it is, dollars over in Florida at Palm Beach. So he's doing really well.
And that's like $1 million in euros. So he did very well.
Yeah, something like that. It's a lot of money. That's why they go over there as well, because the money is very, very good.
And the weather's not bad. It beats England this time of year.
Yeah, it's been snowing over here.
Yeah, you guys have had some wicked winter weather. We've been having the mildest winter in like 100 years, and you've been getting our snow, I think.
Well, it's been really nice until about 3 days ago, and then it decided to snow. So everyone's kind of, the whole of England comes to a complete halt when the snow comes. No one knows how to work when there's snow.
Yeah, Jamie knows all about that. Her husband got stuck over there for a little while, and like, what was it, a week or two, because it snowed a little?
Yeah, he barely made it home for Christmas. Horrible.
Yeah, we're rubbish when it comes to the snow. We don't know how to handle it.
I was so mad at your country that I quit drinking Bass beer for like 3 months.
Really? That's why we went into a recession.
Zach!
So now, a name I have not heard in a while and is on your agenda here, and you need to tell our listeners about it who are not familiar, is Hedley Britannia.
Hedley Britannia. Oh, she's an amazing horse. She's one of my favorite horses. She's brilliant. Have you not heard of her?
Well, there's some of our listeners that won't have. So tell us all about Hedley Britannia. What's she do?
Well, she's an event horse ridden by a lady called Lucinda Fredericks, who's part of kind of an eventing dynasty. She's married to a guy called Tayton Fredericks. Now, unfortunately for us, she was a Brit, she was English, but because she married Clayton, she now competes for Australia. So we lost her to the Australian team, but they're based in England, so we still think of her as very much English. And she's had this amazing mare who, when you look at her, I've been fortunate enough to meet the mare, Hedley Britannia, and she looks like a polo pony. She's tiny. She's only 15-1, and she's really small, and she just isn't much to look at. But this horse's track record is amazing. She's the only mare ever to win 3 4-star competitions. She's won Babington, Kentucky, and Burley. She's got the lowest standing score, I think, at the moment for finishing on at a 4-star event. She's just amazing. She's won everything, and she hasn't been out for 2 years because the ground's been so hard and everyone just thought she'd retired. And Lucinda has said that she's bringing her back this year and going to try and qualify her for the Olympics, and she's 19 years old.
That would be amazing. I saw her go in Kentucky, and she actually... You're right. She has the lowest finishing score at a 4-star, and that was in Kentucky, and it was a 32.3, Jamie.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Yeah.
This mare is almost like, you know, like Teddy O'Connor was here, where he was like a pony that really, really just kind of kicked everybody's butt. But this little mare, I for some reason I thought they had retired her and they were gonna like let kids like let Lucinda's daughter compete on her. But I know they've done a couple embryo transfers. Do they have any foals yet?
Yeah, it's bizarre because she won badminton 4 or 5 years ago now, and everyone kind of thought that that was really exciting, and that's when they started the embryo transfers, but it feels like that was only yesterday. But now two of her foals are 4 years old and being ridden and are backed and starting to compete. They're starting their journey. And the two most famous ones were put to a really famous horse called a Jaguar Male, who competed at the same Olympics as Hedley Britannia in 2008.
Wow.
And yeah, it is amazing. And the foals are stunning. So they're full brother and sister, and they look just like their parents. So the mare has kind of got Jaguar Male's stance. She's got Jaguar Male's legs and is quite tall, but looks just like Hedley Britannia with the colouring. And then the gelding has got kind of smaller frame like Hedley Britannia, but then has the colouring of Jaguar Male. They're really funny.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and they're going to be really exciting ones to look at in the future with their pedigree.
And she is absolutely, yeah, I know you've seen her ride, Jamie. You know, the horse is amazing, but Lucinda is a terrific rider. She's a very quiet rider. She's great.
Yeah, she is, and she's also got another really good horse coming up called Prada, who's really, really feisty and is possibly the most beautiful horse I've ever met. She's stunning. She's black. And so she's going to be another one that Lucinda's hoping to qualify. So she's got a good string of horses ahead of her.
Well, we are definitely huge fans of the Fredericks on this radio show. And you know, they're sponsor his saddle company, which is the Southern Stars Saddlery, which is what the Fredericks started and designed these saddles. I have one of them. That's what I event in. And they're sponsors of the Eventing Radio Show. So we adore them. And anytime we can talk about the Fredericks and how awesome they are, we will do it. But so I was just reading here in the article. I knew I wasn't crazy. I know that they were saying that they were going to send Hedley Britannia down to their daughter to ride. But apparently Lucinda's like, I want one more year, and then she can have her.
Now I rang Lucinda last week, and she was really like, she's like, I just want to have one more year of fun. Hedley Britannia's not ready to retire just yet. She's still having loads of fun. And Ellie's still quite little, her daughter. So I think she just wants to have a bit more fun on her. And then as Edley gets a bit taller, she'll do her first year of competing on her.
Yeah, what a good start.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine if she was in any of these other children's groups, they'd all be mortified.
Oh, my God. Well, what else is happening down there, over there? Excuse me.
Well, really excited that I don't know if you guys know much about vaulting, equestrian vaulting, do you?
Yeah, I watched every vaulting minute at the World Equestrian Games, and I actually enjoyed it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, and you have, we mentioned yesterday about the sisters, you have a great pair of vaulters there.
Yeah, we have the best in the world. They're amazing. They're Scottish girls, Joanna and Hannah Eccles. And they're absolutely brilliant. They're lovely, lovely girls, really unassuming, both at university, so do vaulting in their spare time. And they've just been to the FEI World Cup Vaulting Championships. And yet again have won us another gold medal. And this time Hannah's come second as well. So Jo came first and Hannah came second, so they brought us home the 1-2, which is really exciting.
It usually is the other way around, isn't it? It was the sisters usually came in 1-2 the other way.
No, Jo normally wins, but Hannah's, hasn't done it as much. Hannah's not really been placed before. She hasn't done quite as well. So it's nice to see Hannah up there as well. But Jo does this beautiful routine, which you can actually see her routine on our website, on the article, to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang's music. It's really cute, and it's amazing. I saw her at Olympia Horse Show this year, and I was so impressed. It's brilliant to watch.
Yeah, and, you know, I've never seen a vaulting routine to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, so it was
it's really good. It's quite it's amazing how well-behaved the horses are as well.
You know, I did garner a new respect for vaulting. I think that's the biggest thing I got out of the World Equestrian Games here in Kentucky. it is amazing what they do on top of these horses that, you know, most riders attempt not to do on horses. I did develop a new respect. Jamie was doing it last weekend, but involuntarily. It was not
was
a voluntary.
Involuntary dismount.
Yes.
I did not dismount. I just involuntarily ended up on one side of my horse when he was going the other direction. But voluntarily,
I stayed on. I think every eventer should have vaulting lessons, don't you? Wouldn't that be the thing to do?
I think we
aim
to try to stay on.
Yeah. I get them whether I like it or not.
Yes,
so
I get that as well. Normally
your blog
through
the
water
week?
Complex.
I'm just looking at your blog of the week, and it's all pictures of snow.
Oh, yeah, that was my blog I wrote. yeah, there's a lot of snow. But it's really nice because everyone sends us in their photos, which we love. We love seeing horse photos, and nothing's funnier than seeing horses in the snow.
Well, now, London has to be beautiful right after it snows, you know, just at that quiet time when the snow has just ended. London has to be beautiful in the snow.
Yeah, it'd be more beautiful in the sunshine and the hot weather. And the
amen.
Then I can wear my T-shirt riding.
Jennifer is not a fan of the snow. Thank you very much.
No, I like the warm weather.
So what's coming up
with
on,
Nick Shelton?
What's coming up on horse? Yeah, you should be. Why didn't you get that assignment in Florida?
I know. I should have a word with them, shouldn't I? So that I need
yes,
to go out into the sunshine.
You'd be giving us reports from Florida. That'd be much better. Palm trees and sunshine. Hey, what's coming up on Sky 280 in the UK this week?
Well, we've got lots of our usual shows. So we've got like the Saddle Club, which the kids love, and then more on our Getting to Greenwich series. Have you guys watched any of that or heard of any of that? Where we're following all our riders on the way to the Olympics?
Yes, yep.
So you can watch Sophie Wells and Piggy French. They'll be on that this week. Sophie is a para rider. She's for para dressage. She's amazing, really inspirational. And then Piggy French is another eventer. So if you like your eventers, you can watch her. Her real name's not Piggy. It's actually Georgina, but her nickname's Piggy, and everyone calls her Piggy French. And then we've got stuff from the dressage convention of 2011, which is lots of dressage in demos and information and sort of displays from lots of dressage riders. So if you're keen on your dressage, I'd tune into that because there's lots to learn. And then we've also got some World Cup jumping from Zurich, so lots of chance to look at more of the show jumpers who haven't been over competing over in America. They've been in Zurich competing in the World Cup qualifiers.
Okay, cool. Well, before we let you go, I got to find out, do you have a horse?
I ride a few horses for other people. I ride horses for people.
And
that's my other job, I assume,
by what you said, are you an eventer?
Yeah, I try to be an eventer when I'm not having involuntary dismounts into water.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, and I also train a couple of ex-race horses as well. So I've done quite a lot of different stuff. I take on horses that no one else wants to ride because they tend to catapult people.
Because you don't value your body parts?
Yeah, a little bit like that. I think I'm a little bit insane.
Okay, you're my new best friend. We are going to be new best friends. And we're going to ride together, and we're going to hang out together. We're going to get in trouble together. I'm pretty sure that we are best friends now.
Yeah,
you okay
I'm pretty
with that?
Sure we are.
Yeah. Don't tell Victoria. She's going to be mad.
I won't. You're being really nice to me as well. I'm quite scared.
You're awesome. This is so fun.
I was actually, the whole time I've been looking for something to pick on you about, but you haven't given me one opening. It's been no fun at all. It's been nothing.
I know. I'm sorry. I'll try harder to mess up next time.
All right, good. Let's do that. Thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate you taking over for Victoria this week, and you are welcome back anytime.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope you didn't miss her too much.
No. It's horseandcountry.tv, and of course,
See
Horse and Country TV here in the United States on HRTV. They have some of their programming there as well. Thanks, and have a great week, and enjoy the snow.
And you, and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
They're really delightful from Horse and Country TV.
I know. That's why they have awesome jobs. They're qualified. They're cool.
Are you saying we're not qualified?
No, no, no. But if we lived in England, we would totally work there.
You tried to get that TV gig. It didn't work out. You didn't go to the right place. See, that's the problem.
I know. I need to move to England, clearly. But I'm telling you, I did. When the whole thing with Chad getting stuck in London and because of an inch of snow, I literally was like, that is it. I am not drinking Bass beer forever. And I made it like 3 months.
You were very upset when Chad there was a chance he wasn't going to make it home for Christmas. And it was your first Christmas together as a married couple, if I remember right. And
yes.
You were pretty upset. You were fit to be tied there for a little while.
I was mad, and I was mad at London for their poor planning for snow. I mean, it snows in the winter everywhere sometime, you know.
Now, we won't mention that London, the roads in London and everything in London was made about 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. Have some salt, though. Just get some salt. See? Facebook update. Before we get out of here, I want to point out that were you able to see the pictures I posted, Glenn?
Yes, I finally did get onto Facebook and saw the dog upside down, upside down in the tub. Yes, I did see that. And the baby hip up. That was cute.
I want to point out that Jessica Hardman, Debbie Salata said, at least this is clean water. It's a dog in a bathtub, upside down, totally sudsy, just completely chilling in the bathtub like a person would. And she says that hers do this in the dirtiest water troughs that they can find. I would like to point out that I had to throw both my dogs in the pool last night because they went to the neighbor's mud pit of a yard and completely got disgusting. So I've decided that instead of bathing my dogs at 9 o'clock at night, I'm just going to throw them in the pool.
And hope the filters take care of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much smarter. So Boomer, when they come in, Boomer and Zenyatta, chuck them in the pool. And the pool, I would like to point out, is like 52 degrees right now. So I'm thinking that eventually they're going to learn to not run in the mud. But they don't do it. They don't learn.
How much do you pay on chemicals throwing the dog in the pool?
I don't know, but don't tell Chad I do that.
We had a pool. It was kind of a pain in the butt to take care of. Is yours a pain in the butt?
I don't do it. Chad does.
Was something soothing about going out with the big long stick with the net at the end and scraping stuff off the top in the mornings when the sun was just coming up. There was something soothing about that. But, boy, our pool would turn green on us, and then we'd have to figure out why. It was kind of a pain.
Yeah, I don't care. I just know that in the summertime I have to have a pool because it's like 115 degrees here. You have to have a pool, and it better be clear. And that's Chad's responsibility. I take care of all the animals and him, so he can do the pool. So if he's wondering why the filter may, for the past couple of days, have had a lot of extra mud in it.
And dog hair.
You didn't hear. You didn't hear it from me, okay? You don't know nothing.
I think the dog hair is going to kind of be a giveaway.
I don't know what you're talking about. It blew in, okay?
Now, do the dogs actually like the pool, or is this a shocking experience for them?
This is shocking. This is shocking as hell. They're muddy. I can't let them in the house, okay? And I'm not going to sit out there and bathe them with a cold hose. It'd be a nightmare. So I just throw them in the pool, and they know how to get out, so they swim right to the stairs and jump out. Maybe I'm a horrible mother. Call me what you will. I don't think I would do that to a child, but I will do it to my dog. They're disgusting. If they want to run in the water and mud when it's 55 degrees out there, they can jump in the pool. I don't care. Mud's cold.
Susan Nelson posted on Facebook, Chantel Sutherland may be single, Glenn, but you're not. Believe me, Susan, my wife reminds me of that on a regular basis. I work with her here at the house. I kind of know that. Yeah, but I have a list. We're allowed to have a list, and I have a list. I don't think Chantel Sutherland's on my list, but Carrie Underwood is still the top of the list.
Really? Still?
Still. I can't get her off the top of the list. She keeps staying there.
Now, Jennifer, come here for a second. I'd like you to turn your microphone on because your husband talks an awful lot about this list that he has, which, by the way, is complete crap. The I get away with it list, first of all, that would never work. Second of all, Carrie Underwood would never talk to you, okay?
Well, that's why the list is so safe when you're married, because it's people that you'll never, ever have a chance of having.
I'm sorry. It's probably safe when you're not married. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Jennifer, do you have a list, and who is on it?
Of course I have a list.
Really?
You don't?
Well, no.
How long have you been married, Jamie?
Listen here. The problem with the list is, like, you know, I've told you about meeting and embarrassing myself in front of plenty of celebrities. And if I had had a list, Leonardo DiCaprio and George Clooney would have been on it. And I met them. So, I've met them in a very poor fashion. We can check that out.
Very unsuccessfully met them.
Yes, I very unsuccessfully met. But I've been in media for so long that you can't have a list. Because if you meet them, then you're more apt to meet them when they're promoting something and they need you to promote their stuff.
Jamie,
so I never had a list.
You know what?
But
you're
who's
not
on your list
anymore, Jamie. You're on Horse Radio Network. You won't meet celebrities anymore.
You make
a
good point.
So we give you permission.
I don't know. It just seems weird. So Jennifer, who's on your list?
Mine changes frequently. But currently, Robert Downey Jr. is at the top.
Okay.
And close in second place is Pierce Brosnan. He is always in the top five.
Okay.
That's all you're getting.
Oh, wait a minute. What about the old gray-haired dude? He's been on your list forever.
Sean Connery.
Yeah, but you know.
Exactly.
He's near the top, but he's only at the top for dinner and wine. That's it.
No booty with Sean Connery.
No.
I didn't know there was classifications to the list.
Yes,
mine's
there
are. Pretty much.
Well, you know me. I have to divide everything and file it. So I have different file folders for the
and
list.
And you don't think that Chad has a list?
I don't know. I thought that maybe I shouldn't have a list because, you know, I've got a great husband and everything's good, and I shouldn't be thinking about those kind of things.
But you've been married more than a year. That's all bets are off now. You're old.
Hey, Chad,
old.
Please.
Oh, geez. I'm going to get Chad
last
in trouble.
Last time we did this, we ended up with a horse named Joe Montana, so I don't know if he wants to come in again. I think he's outside cleaning the pool. He's scooping it up right now.
Let's get out of here. Hey, everybody has horses to ride. Things
I found
to do.
I found him.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a like a list of people that is like what would you call this list, Glenn?
You're allowed to go to bed with list. Of celebrities.
You're allowed to, like, sleep with celebrity list? Do you have a list?
Top five.
What? Did you hear what he said? He goes, yeah, I've got a top five. Come here, closer to the microphone. Why
I
want to
know who's on his top five. Carrie Underwood on it?
This is
not the time to start this conversation.
You're all dressed, about to go to work. I'm going to be mad at you all day. Come on, give me the list. Come closer.
It's a roving list. We've already discussed this.
This list changes? I'm bothered by this. Who's on your list?
You have a list?
I don't have a list.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Suddenly you don't have a list.
Who would be on my list? Let's not go there. Let's answer the question. Who's number one on your list?
Currently, I am unaware of my top five.
Oh, my God. He's blushing. He is blushing right now. Saying, come on, who's number one?
I really don't. I was not prepared for
mine's Carrie Underwood. Tell him mine's Carrie Underwood.
Glenn says Carrie Underwood is his number one.
She's
in your top five. You love her.
Respectable.
He's going to know. He's not going to say anything. And
I'm one on my list?
Yeah.
My lovely wife.
Oh, my God, he's good. Did you hear that?
I'm excited for him.
Number one is me.
Well, Jennifer,
now, it doesn't mean
we have now succeeded in creating another marriage with problems today. So
I had no idea that he had a list. No idea at all. And he comes in, oh, yeah, it changes all the time. Yeah, no, top five. Well, I'm making a list,
Jamie,
too. I will be back with you tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning with my top five list.
All right. We want to hear your top five. And, Jamie, I know you're a little naive about certain things. Every guy has a list. Every guy.
I did not know. I thought, well, I shouldn't have a list. I mean, we're married for just a little over a year. He shouldn't be fantasizing about other women, but apparently he is constantly changing it. Unbelievable. I'm getting out of here. I'm mad. I'm going to go ride my horse.
Have a great day, everybody. Hey, who's on your list? Let us know. Post it on our Facebook page. Jamie's in trouble this morning. You might as well be in trouble, too. Horses in the Morning on Facebook. We want to hear who's top on your list.
Chad's in trouble. Jamie's not in trouble. I had no idea my husband was thinking about other women. I'm out of here. Spay, neuter, and geld. I'm mad. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Jennifer.
Have a great day, Jamie.
Thanks, guys. Let's go make a list. I'm going to go through and look at hot celebrities online. I'm Googling that right now. Google is hot celebrities.